Well, last month, we talked about our earliest residents of Wisconsin focusing on the archaic Indian traditions, which covered the period from about 8,000 to 500 BC. The next residents came when the glaciers receded, and we'll be talking about that, called the Woodland Indian Tradition, and we'll be visiting with Tom Plager once again. Tom, Dean and Campus Executive Officer and an Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW-Baraboo Sauk County campus. Really pleased to have him back. I've gotten lots of good positive feedback from listeners about the these series of programs, and great to have him back to talk about the Woodland Indian Tradition in Wisconsin. You may have some questions. Certainly call in with them at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Tom Plager with us by phone. Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking time to be with us once again.
Hi, Larry. Great to be with you again. And again, always exciting to talk about Wisconsin archaeology.
It's lots of fun. Well, those residents came after the glaciers receded. How important was this to the culture of the Mississippi River and the Plains regions?
Well, we started out at the end of the last ice age, roughly 13,000 years ago, with the first session discussing Paleo-Indians, and these were the first nomadic peoples that entered our state right at the end of the ice age. Those cultures developed and grew, and as the environment changed and archaeologists recognized what we call the archaic tradition, which, as you mentioned, is this series of cultures from about 8,000 BC up to about 500 BC. And in that time period, people adapted to a more modern environment, what we refer to as middle and late Holocene, became seasonal in terms of their mobility. We see the first cemeteries and so forth. But the woodland tradition marks a series of cultural practices that we have not seen on the landscape prior to this. And starting about 500 BC, we begin to see pottery containers, mound construction, later in middle woodland times, domesticated plant use, and eventually in late woodland times, the incorporation of corn, beans, and squash into the diet, along with hunting and gathering. So it's a series of cultural practices that are very different than anything that we've seen thus far in the archaeological traditions that we've covered.
And these didn't all kind of develop as one and across the state uniformly, did they?
Correct. The woodland tradition as a concept was first identified by an very famous archaeologist by the name of Will C. McKern, who was based at the Milwaukee Public Museum. And he was working in the 1920s and 1930s in Wisconsin, excavating a series of sites actually across the state in a west-east direction, trying to make sense out of the tremendous diversity of the archaeological assemblages that had been discovered in Wisconsin. And what he recognized were a series of cultural practices that occurred not simultaneously all together all at once, but generally across the woodland pattern occurred at different times at different places, and that included mound construction for the burial of the dead and for territorial markers. Archaic peoples, for the most part in Wisconsin, didn't build mounds. Areas to the south, they did. Pottery containers and domesticated plants. But these three cultural practices didn't simultaneously occur at the very beginning. The woodland tradition is divided into early, middle, and late stages, and it's not really until middle and late woodland that we see all three cultural practices co-occurring, but in variation in different places around the state by time and by space.
And as we look at that early period, what was that early period characterized by?
Well, starting about 500 BC in our region, so about 2,500 years ago, archaeologists begin to see pottery containers. And the very first pottery found in the southern part of the state is a very thick, heavy ceramic container with flat bottoms, sometimes referred to as Marion thick. It occurs also in Illinois and neighboring states. And it tells us that people are experimenting with firing clay. These pots were probably made by taking a clay and mixing it with a tempering agent, a non-plastic material that is allows for proper curing and assists in the firing process. And the very earliest pots are made out of grit, crushed rock, and sand temper mixed with clay that was then turned into a coil. And then these pots were made by coiling clay in kind of a beehive-like pattern. And then the coils were spanked and smoothed together, and then design applications applied to the outside. And it's in early woodland times that we see this very first pottery, first this Marian thick, then a series of incised pottery designs that tell us that people are experimenting with new technologies, beginning to stay in the landscape for longer periods of time, and still probably moving seasonally, but not as frequently as, let's say, archaic peoples did.
And so they didn't have to move as much.
That's right. And probably we start to see, at least by middle woodland times and late woodland times, fairly pronounced territories in the region where cemeteries are placed along the boundaries of spatial areas that were occupied by particular groups. And we don't know if those groups represent specific ethnic groups that spoke different languages or whether they are subsets of a larger cultural expression that occupied a large region across Wisconsin and neighboring states.
Talking today with Tom Plager, this is the third in our series of programs that we've been doing with him about our earliest residents in the state, and today the woodland Indian tradition in Wisconsin on our minds. You'd like to join in, maybe have a question or comment, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us, and the email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org, and we'd be pleased to hear from you. Just to go back a minute, that tradition, that transition from archaic to woodland Indians is known as the red ochre complex. What does that red ochre refer to?
Well, that refers to one cultural expression that we see during this transition from archaic to woodland, and it refers to cultures that place their dead, at least in Wisconsin, in knolls and natural elevations, and the bodies were often covered with a ground red pigment that was made from hematite or iron ore. And in Wisconsin, most of the red ochre sites date from 1000 BC to roughly 400 BC, and there isn't a fairly convincing pattern of mound use and ceramic containers co-occurring with this phenomenon. There are some possible sites in the southeastern part of the state, mound sites that may have red ochre associated with them. But in Illinois and adjacent states in Iowa, we do see mound construction, ceramic containers, and red ochre burial ceremonialism co-occurring. And that's why it's considered to be transitional. We don't really have ceramics and we don't have mound building, but we're getting close to that development.
Let's turn to Adam in Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Adam.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious. I live about 30 miles northwest of Rockford, basically right on the Illinois-Wisconsin border in the central part of the state. And I was curious what some of the larger tribes were that were in my area. I live about maybe 10 or 15 miles south of Broadhead, Wisconsin, and was just curious about what different tribes lived in that area.
Well, you're asking a question that would relate considerably later in time, and where we will have a whole session on historic Indian peoples. The cultures that we're covering right now would really predate modern Indian ethnic identities or ethnic populations. In the southern part of the state, we know that the Ho-Chunk occupied a significant part of Wisconsin, the Iowa in the southwestern part of the state. Later groups such as the Potawatomi arrived in probably the 17th century in the southeastern part of the state, the Ojibwe and Chippewa occupying much of the northern part of the state, and the Menominee in the northeast quarter. But the cultures that we're talking about now are ancestral to these folks, these ethnic groups that I just mentioned, and we can't directly link all of them to modern Indian populations. We have some evidence to suggest that there are connections with modern Indian groups to some of the mound-building woodland tradition cultures.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling. Bill in Prairie du Sac, we'll go to you now. Hi, Bill.
Howdy. Just a quick question about the carbon dating and the accuracy of it. I've heard a couple of things recently that bring into question the validity of that or accuracy.
Sure. Radiocarbon dating is a very commonly used practice in archaeology, developed in the late 1940s and became widespread in the 1950s. And one of the things that it did for us, particularly in Wisconsin, as I mentioned, this archaeologist, Will C. McKern, who developed the first classification system for prehistoric cultures in our region, radiocarbon dating allowed us to assign fairly tight dates to those various cultures and verify what McKern had recognized from excavation and other archaeologists in the ground. But radiocarbon dating works as a process of all living things absorb C12 and C14. C14 is unstable. It's breaking down in all of our bodies right now. It's radioactive. And Willard Libby, who developed the process that was applied to archaeology, realized that you could measure from something that had died the amount of C12 to C14 and estimate how much time has elapsed since the organism had died. And the process originally, when it was developed and applied to archaeology, most radiocarbon dates had about a 67% accuracy. So if you ran a date, two-thirds of the time it would fall within a specific range. Today we have a new technique in radiocarbon dating called AMS, or accelerator mass spectrometry, that most dates are in the 90% plus probability of being correct, but often archaeologists use radiocarbon dates. They run multiple dates and tie those dates into other methods for dating prehistory. So the process has been verified. Multiple labs have run dates on samples from a single archaeological deposit and shown that there's a very consistent results to this process.
Thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Tom Plager, our guest today, Dean and Campus Executive Officer at the UW Baraboo Sauk County Campus, as we talk with him about the woodland Indian tradition in Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look at the woodland Indian tradition in Wisconsin with Tom Plager, Dean and Campus Executive Officer, Associate Professor of Anthropology and Archaeology at the UW Baraboo Sauk County. And this is our third in our series of programs we've been doing with Tom about earliest residents of Wisconsin. Pleased to have him with us. Again, join us with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. And, you know, every one of our call lines is full, so I think we better go back to the phones, Tom, and take some more calls. Dave, sure. In Waukesha, let's go to you. Dave, hello.
Yeah, hi. I just had a couple of quick questions. One is, I was wondering if he can talk a little bit about the very first evidence of human beings in Wisconsin, how far back that dates. And the other thing I was wondering about is the effigy mound culture. Is it true that the effigy mounds were used to predict the seasons? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. All right.
Sure. Well, the first question we've covered in the first session in this series, and that deals with Paleo Indians, and people have been in Wisconsin since at least 12 to 13,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age. There's fairly convincing evidence of that and a fairly consistent pattern across much of eastern North America. The next question, dealing with late woodland, the woodland tradition is divided into early, middle, and late stages. And in early woodland, we begin to see this first pottery use, ceramic containers. In middle woodland, we begin to see domesticated plants that are used, sunflower, sumpweed, goosefoot, knotweed, may grass, the development of tobacco, first fairly widespread pattern of smoking pipes, conical mounds, and large trading network. But late woodland in our region, one of the cultures that is internationally known pertaining to the late woodland stage is effigy mound culture, and that's the question the caller was asking about, starting perhaps as early as the AD 600s, but certainly between AD 750 and 1050, literally thousands of animal-shaped mounds along with linear mounds and conicals were built across the southern half of the state by late woodland peoples. And these mounds likely functioned as territorial markers, may have also been representative of clan organization and a view of into the window of the cosmology of these ancient peoples, of the way they perceived the supernatural and natural world based upon these animal forms. But there clearly is some arrangement to these mounds with intentional meaning. Whether they were used to predict seasonal changes is difficult to say. There are some mound groups, particularly in the Ohio River Valley, that have calendrical and seasonal alignments that could have allowed prehistoric peoples to predict seasonal change. But effigy mounds, there isn't a fairly convincing pattern of that of tied in specifically to seasonal time markers, so to speak.
Thank you very much for that question and those questions. John in Crawford County, we're on to you now. Hi, John.
Hi. Say, we've got one in the shape of an eagle in Crawford County, and I assume it was effigy mound culture. When was that?
Again, effigy mound culture is late woodland. The woodland tradition is divided into these stages, early, middle, and late. And the bulk of the effigy mounds that were produced in Wisconsin date to between AD 750 and AD 1050, so roughly 1300 to 1000 years ago. Some effigy mound construction may have lasted as long as AD 1300, so 700 years ago. But the bulk of the radiocarbon dates from effigy mounds in Wisconsin date between that range of AD 750 and AD 1050.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. And this is on your private property, John?
Yes.
And so it's been maintained and all that?
Well, it hasn't been destroyed anyways.
Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you very much for that question and comment. Stephen in Madison, on to you. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Tom, I'm interested in constructing ecological histories for regions prior to European contact. And part of this process involves identifying keystone species, such as the Native American people, passenger pigeons, beavers, bison, and so forth. And I found that using Native American middens is a way, at least a window, in what animals were easily available for capture. And currently there's a big debate in Wisconsin amongst wildlife people about the impact of bison in Wisconsin. Were they here? Were they not? And just from your research with some of these midden sites, I think that's the right word, do you think there were bison in Wisconsin at a particular time or not? And I'd just be interested in what your reflection is.
Sure. Interesting question. The term midden refers to large refuse or trash deposits, and these become more frequent in woodland times. There's been a lot of research done along the Mississippi River and its drainage tributaries and large woodland sites that have produced a significant amount of faunal remains, meaning animal remains. In particular, the Mill Pond site, work done by Jim Thieler, gives us an excellent window into the ecology of the Mississippi River system in southwestern Wisconsin. His research has demonstrated that the mollus or clam species have changed dramatically over time as a result of modern European activities and how it's impacted the river. So there's a lot of this type of research going on. And your question specific to bison, we know that at the end of the last ice age, when we talked about Paleo Indians two sessions ago, that there was prehistoric ice age bison that did extend into western Wisconsin and southern Wisconsin that was preyed upon by Native peoples, certainly was on the Great Plains. That species went extinct at the end of the Ice Age. But bison was likely hunted by Native peoples in the western portions of Wisconsin. During the woodland tradition, the Prairie Peninsula, this ecological zone that would have supported bison, did advance up into the south-central part of the state, and bison could have been found in that range, but it would have been very unlikely, for example, if you were up in Marinette County, to run into buffalo in prehistory, certainly in woodland times. But we know from archaeological deposits that people did hunt buffalo in the southwestern part of the state during woodland times and periodically traded with people on the plains who had easy access to bison herds and traded a variety of items, probably hide, bone tools, and other products made from bison.
Thanks very much.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Devon and Mosinee, on to you. Hi.
Hi.
Did you have a question about the diet?
Yeah. What do the Indians eat?
Well, that's a good question, and Native people's diets changed dramatically over time. During the woodland tradition, people were hunter-gatherers along with involved in collecting plant resources, fishing, and during middle and late woodland times, domesticated plants were incorporated into these people's diets. So, again, there were a variety of indigenous or local plants in eastern North America that included things like sunflower, sumpweed, goosefoot, knotweed, maygrass, little barley, that were plants that were available here that were wild and then were domesticated by Native peoples. And then by late woodland times, and certainly by 1000 A.D., corn, which was an import originally from Central America and pushed further and further north, reached Wisconsin and became widespread, at least in the southern half of the state, along with beans and squash. So by late woodland times, the diet was very diverse. Still hunting and gathering, extremely important, but people had access to corn, beans, and squash as a supplement to their diet, which allowed for the storage and greater yields than what nature could have produced on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Yeah, thanks, Devon. Appreciate your call. Okay. And I think he might have also had a question, Devon might have also had a question about weapons that were used on the hunt, too.
Sure. In early woodland times, spear, dart technology, probably throwing sticks, nets, harpoons, middle woodland times, a continuation of that technology. But by the end of middle woodland, let's say by AD 600, AD 700s, we begin to see bow and arrow technology widespread in Wisconsin. And we can see that archaeologically because the size of the projectile point made out of stone decreases dramatically when bow and arrow technology is present. In fact, if you look at most actual arrow points, true arrowheads dating from late woodland and later in time, they are roughly about the size of a modern broadhead. There's some variation in size, but they generally aren't much bigger than an inch to an inch and a half in size, very similar to what a modern bow hunter would use. And that technology allowed for more efficient hunting on the landscape than using spears.
The someone else wondered about the resources available for identifying the arrowheads found in Wisconsin.
Well, again, there was a question earlier about radiocarbon dating, and you cannot radiocarbon date a stone projectile point because it doesn't have organic material. It was never alive. But projectile points that have been found in the ground in archaeological deposits where they are sealed and intact and undisturbed, associated with organic materials such as charred wood, bone, and so forth, that we can date those things using radiocarbon dating. That technology, coupled with the stratigraphic sequences, the fact that certain layers are isolated in the ground and certain artifact styles are isolated in those layers, has allowed us to work out a fairly sophisticated an accurate projectile point chronology and age for all of prehistory in Wisconsin. And in the case of the woodland tradition, that's fairly finely refined. And we also have a similar chronology for ceramic and pottery containers. And in many cases, we can date ceramics now with a technology, this AMS, accelerator mass spectrometry technology, where we can date food residues actually adhering to prehistoric pots that give us a very precise bracket of range of age for a particular ceramic style.
Interesting. I have to tell you, the article or chapter on the woodland tradition that I have, and I believe it's from the Wisconsin Archaeologist, is a great you're one of the authors of that particular piece, and it does have some diagrams and photos of arrowheads and that sort of pottery and that sort of thing.
It's a great summary. The Wisconsin Archaeologist, again, is a journal that's been published since the turn of the century, meaning 1900, that turn of the century. And the 1997 issue is a compilation of chapters that are summaries of each archaeological tradition recognized in Wisconsin. And the woodland tradition has a variety of co-authors. There's so much data and so much information compared to the preceding cultures that there are people that specialize in one particular either geographic region or one particular stage within woodland, and our information increases dramatically. The number of archaeological sites, mound sites, habitation sites, many more, and the density is much higher than anything that we've seen in archaic and woodland society. So our knowledge base is much greater than the preceding 6 or 7 millennia.
Yeah. And that Wisconsin archaeologist might be possible to get a copy of that, I suppose.
Sure. You can just do a web search on Wisconsin Archaeological Society and look at publications available through the society. The 1997 handbook is a good resource. There are a number of other great books that I recommend to people. Robert Birmingham and Leslie Eisenberg's Indian Mounds of Wisconsin is an excellent summary of woodland mound use and Mississippian mound use. It's very accessible, published by the University of Wisconsin Press. And then 12 Millennia, The Archaeology of the Upper Mississippi River Valley by Jim Thieler and Robert Bozart out of UW-La Crosse, also an excellent regional synthesis. Both of these, coupled with the Wisconsin Archaeology Handbook, are texts that I've used in my Wisconsin Archaeology course.
Phil in Golden Lake, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Larry. Great show. I'm a lifelong Wisconsin resident and always been interested in this. I do have like a little complaint, if I can start out with it. I have this website book called archaeologica.org / news page that like gives me news stories from all over the world, apparently English language publications. And I hardly ever see anything from Wisconsin. I mean, there's one on here from Ohio today and so on. So I don't know if your guest has any input into that, but more press releases would be great. But the question was, and he's up in Baraboo, if I recall. Near Baraboo, there's a state park called Natural Bridge State Park, and there's a rock shelter under the bridge. And I'm sure reading many years ago in the Wisconsin Archaeologist at the Historical Society that they had found occupation levels there that were as old as 8,000 years. But the thing that fascinated me about it was it indicated that it was a seasonal camp used in the fall. They could tell by the type of, you know, animal bones that were being found. And that the people kept coming back there for thousands of years. And I'm just wondering, and I think subsequently I heard that it had been redated and there was some change on the dating. I'm wondering if he knows anything about that particular site.
Sure. We've covered the Raditz Rock Shelter extensively in the archaic session of this program series. It's a multi-component archaic rock shelter. It was excavated by Warren Whitry at the State Historical Society, and it gives us a very good window into archaic populations as to hunting and gathering, the food resources, the development of their spear point technology. It's a well-published site, well understood. There are a number of other rock shelters from that time frame. Woodland peoples probably used rock shelters as well in the southwestern part of the state, but the most significant research that's been done at Raditz relates to the archaic levels of both middle and late archaic.
And what you might want to do, Phil, is go back, or anyone else for that matter, go online to WPR.org, and you can scale back, go to my program and back about a month, and even a month beyond that, and you can find the other programs that that Tom has done with us. And if you didn't catch those first ones, why not go back and listen to those and get caught up with those? Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it. Greg in Menominee, we turn to you next. Hi, Greg.
Hi. My question is, back in the 70s, we have a cabin down by Tremplo, and it's just between the Mississippi River and the Nichols Mound, which is supposedly one of the larger mounds in the state. While I was digging a garden, and then down about a foot, I found a pipe, and I'm assuming it's a peace pipe. It doesn't appear to ever been used, but it's only about 3 inches in length and maybe 1.5, 2 inches high. And I've always had it, you know, I've kept it since then, obviously, and wondering where I could take it, have somebody look at it, and give me some idea what they think it is.
Sure, I would encourage you to bring that into the Mississippi Valley Archaeology Center at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. And or the State Archaeologist's Office at the Wisconsin Historical Society. That area, the Tremplo area, is a very famous area in terms of woodland archaeology. During the Middle Woodland Stage, and your pipe likely dates to this, there is the development of a regional trade system or exchange network that's referred to as Hopewell. It's actually named after a series of archaeological sites in the Ohio River Valley. And we see perhaps the greatest prehistoric exchange network that ever existed during Middle Woodland Hopewellian times, dating roughly 100 BC to maybe AD 400 or so. And the Trempealeau area was first identified, at least on the national scene, with excavations again done by Will C. McKern, where he excavated a series of mound groups, including the mound, the Nichols Mound that you mentioned, the Schwert Mound, a group there outside of Perot State Park. And the pattern that he recognized included burials with extremely lavished items, imported items, smoking pipes, platform pipes made out of catlinite from Minnesota. Some were made out of material, a bluish-purplish soapstone here from the Baraboo area, other materials from Illinois, imported obsidian from the Great Plains and a series of quartzites from the Great Plains, buried in these conical mounds, along with copper ornaments, ear spool ornaments, breastplates. And McKern, rightly so, connected this to this great exchange network that was identified in Ohio and Illinois. And subsequently, archaeologists call this the Trempealeau phase of the Middle Woodland Stage, and it's our regional, directly connected Hopewellian variant in southwestern Wisconsin. So if you have a smoking pipe from that area, it could very well date to this time frame, and I would encourage you to bring it into either of those two locations at UW-La Crosse or the Wisconsin Historical Society.
How come none of the pipestone pipes would make it this way out of Pipestone, Minnesota?
Well, there are several pipestones that were used. As I mentioned, there's one from the Baraboo area. There's actually another one from Barron County. There's one from northern Illinois. And then this reddish pipestone that occurs in the catlinite quarries in Minnesota. And it was something that was easy to work, beautiful qualities to it. And these materials were preferred for smoking pipes. Tobacco was most likely smoked for ceremonial purposes. And this red pipestone, this catlinite material, there's a significant amount of it found during Woodland times in the form of smoking pipes that was imported from Minnesota to our region.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. I want to go back to the caller just one call ago. Had a question about a website where he had hadn't seen very much in the way of archaeology from Wisconsin. Were you familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that particular website. There are a number of national archaeological or archaeology news sort of clearinghouse sites. The one in particular is aboutarchaeology.com, where you'll see listings from all over the world. But his point about Wisconsin not perhaps being shown on those, well, Wisconsin does make national news on a fairly regular basis. Certainly in the Midwest, many of our archaeological sites are well known. And it's something, though, that I think when people think archaeology, they're thinking of remote and exotic locations and tend to not focus as much on what's in their own backyards. But people from all over the United States and in some cases from outside the United States have come to look at our archaeological sites and particularly our woodland mound sites.
What the most distinctive thing in this last minute for you of this particular woodland Indian tradition in Wisconsin?
Well, I think the tremendous variation in mound construction and the degree in which Native peoples organized labor to produce these mounds. It starts out as conical mounds and develops into, by late woodland times, this amazing expression of animal and linear and conical mound shapes. And these mound groups are the most visible legacy to the prehistory in our region. They have caused scientists and scholars to ponder over these for at least 150 years, and they're a great connection to the prehistoric Native past. So these sites, many of them have been destroyed, but we still have more that are accessible to the public than many of our neighboring states. There are a great number of state parks, county parks, where you can visit and see Indian mounds still intact, and we need to preserve these as much as possible across our region.
And next time, next month, we've got another topic for next month.
Next month, we'll talk about the Mississippian tradition that includes Middle Mississippian. Our best-known site in Wisconsin is the site of Aztalan. We'll cover that. We'll talk about Cahokia, the largest prehistoric site in eastern North America and one of the largest in all of North America, located near St. Louis, and its relationship to cultures here in Wisconsin. And then we will also talk about Oneota, Upper Mississippian, which is a regional development. Both of these cultures co-occur with late woodland effigy mound in our region.
And with that, we have to conclude. Tom, thank you so much. Tom Plager from the UW-Baraboo Sauk County campus.